I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast. My name is David.
And I'm Zach.
And we are a Star Trek.
Uh-oh.
Star Trek fan podcast. And our mission is to review each and every episode as they appear in the official Star Trek timeline.
Yeah. So by Stardate.
By Stardate, yes. And I my name's David, if I didn't say that already.
Pretty sure you didn't, but okay. For those of you that are curious, I'm Zach.
That is Zach over there, on that side. And today we're right in the middle of season one of Star Trek Enterprise, and we're on episode 14, and the name of the episode is Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, Stardate, same as last time, between 0909215.1 and 1109215.1.
Shortly thereafter, the Dear Doctor episode.
Yeah. And so in this one, it opens up with Hoshi Sato performing combat training with Malcolm Reed in the armory. She's having trouble adjusting to the new phase pistol, which doesn't need compensation for particle drift.
Which is hilarious.
As the older EM-33, you know... It honestly drives me fucking crazy. How are you going to have particle drift? It's a goddamn laser weapon, all right? It shoots a fucking energy blast. Energy travels at the speed of light.
Like it There's goes no in like drift. A curve. Which, if I may take a small tangent.
Please.
One of the things that I hated about The Last Jedi, if for anyone who saw it, Star Wars, the last movie, as of today, the Empire ship is chasing the Rebel ship, and they're firing lasers at the ship, and you see the laser in space have bullet drop. You remember that? It's like, dude, you're
so
in space.
Stupid.
There's no bullet drop in space.
Stupid.
It looks cool, but it's not scientifically accurate.
Ugh, goddamn it. Einstein's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, he is.
So, anyway, the practice is interrupted as the ship drops out of warp to survey a Class 9 gas giant. And in the gas giant, they sense a wreckage and some life signs, very faint. Turns out it's a Klingon scout ship. And my initial thought was when they were listening to the sounds of the gas giant, is I think they need whales. There's definitely something in there that's asking for some whales.
They should
total Star Trek 4.
They should steal that Klingon warbird, slingshot around the sun, and go back in time.
Sun. Yes.
Go back
Without
in time
a doubt.
And find some whales.
The old slingshot around the sun and go back in time trick.
Which, you know, after that movie, it begs the question, Why not do that every time to solve your problems? Oh shit, the Borg are here. No worries, we're gonna slingshot around the sun real quick. We'll be right back.
It's fine. All we gotta do is go around the sun. We'll fix it. So I was secretly hoping that Chancellor Gowron was in the ship. His big fucking, you know, eyes. He wasn't.
Just a crew of 10 ham and egger Klingons out there pillaging. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're in this gas giant, I know, you know, curious minds ask, why are they in this gas giant? Well, they're actually, were hiding in it because they're trying to make some repairs after a battle. With, what were they?
Zenithians?
Zenithians, yes.
Is that it?
I believe it is. Zarantinians. Zarantinians. Zarantines. With an X.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, so they're hiding in this gas giant. And being Klingons, they love spoils of war. Right? So they beat these Zarantines back. They capture their ship. I'm sure steal their women, steal their gold. And they also take their spirits, their liquor. And while in the gas giant, while they're fixing their ship, they decide to throw a little bit of a party and get shit-faced on the Zarantine ale. Well, unbeknownst to them, Zarantine ale actually has a neurotoxin in it that makes all of them faint. they just all end up splayed out over their stations on board the bridge. And there's one Klingon young lady who manages to, I guess she doesn't drink the ale. And when they take the whey pod over to the Klingon ship.
Well, no, she did drink the ale, but she was like in a freezer, which slowed the neurotoxin.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See, that's why this is a two-man podcast. But she steals the whey pod and tries to run away. But Enterprise catches her with their plungers on...
laser with the fucking grappling hook. Nails it.
Yeah, dude. Whoever was on that.
Fucking warp speed.
Yeah.
Wow! Got him.
Got you with our space plungers. And so, you know, basically the ship is disabled. It descends farther and farther into the gas giant, becomes a race against time. Oh my God, are they going to do it? They do it. They manage to escape. And Dad is able to stand up to the Klingons and really put them in their place.
Really put them in their place. Show them that he's a man of strength. Okay. You know,
I have a name on Kronos.
Yeah, actually, which he didn't lean on. You know, it would have been more believable if he was like, none of you guys are getting to Stovacor. You're dying like bitches. And there's no honor in this. Right. So, you know, I do not wish you kapla on your death trip to Stovacor. Thanks, Dad. Yeah, he's so fucking giddy. He's like, kapla.
Kapla.
What does that mean? Success. Thanks, Dad.
This episode is the first episode where, what is it? Photon torpedoes are discovered. And apparently, do we have any skinny on photon torpedoes? Torpedoes, are they a Klingon technology?
I don't know, originally? Man. I mean, I guess they must be. I would imagine the Vulcans have them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is the first time that the humans figure it out, and Reed got a major hard-on when he saw they had photon torpedoes.
Yeah, he did. So you much of a hard-on that he used all of them.
He fired all of them, yeah. This is the... only episode to be directed by a regular Star Trek director, Les Landau, first appearance of the entirely computer-generated Targ, which looked computer-generated as fuck. The only appearance of the Klingon Raptor-class scout vessel. You know, finally, Hoshi gets over her fear of going on away missions and finds her space legs.
Yep.
You know, other times that Tough Little Ship has been used is both, you know, Bill Riker and Tommy Riker, both referred to the Defiant in First Contact and DS9's Defiant, respectively, as Tough Little Ships.
Yep.
As you said, the first time photon torpedoes, as they were going through it, I was like, oh my god, that's Gach. And then they reiterated that it was a Klingon delicacy.
oh, the worms?
Yeah.
The live worms, yeah.
Yeah, and the saving of this ship is referenced later in Enterprise in the episode Judgment. Archer says this is the third time they've run into Klingons, and this confirms that the only other canon appearances by the Klingons up until this episode were Broken Bow and Unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were no off-screen encounters. We've seen them in canon.
Yeah. It's documented their most important moments thus far. Mm-hmm.
And so and there's a very important moment at the end when they're in the decon chamber.
Oh, and, love that.
Yeah. And, you know, Hoshi looks at T'Pol and she goes, "Do you smell that?" And T'Pol says, "I don't smell anything." Which implies she's adjusted to the scent of humans.
Yeah.
Because she's not using her nasal inhibitors.
Right.
So I think finally, 14 episodes in, we're all kind of warming up to the idea that we're a crew. We're T'Pol, having fun.
T'Pol, last episode, it was exposed for eating too much chocolate. She has cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's not using her nasal inhibitors. She's really stepping outside of her box, man. I you know, I'm proud of Mom for that.
I'm proud of Mom. That's right. Forgot we called her Mom.
That's right.
you know, I like this episode because there's a... I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. The sense of urgency was not really there. In some Star Trek episodes, even if it resets most weeks, I didn't feel like anyone was in any danger. And this, that fact Correct. Is Phlox's actor, John Billingsley's biggest qualm with the show as up to this point is no one's died. There's no danger, right. really. They don't want to kill any of the crew members.
Right.
So, you know, I'm like, yeah, they're going to get out of it. I'm sure it's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt the whole episode as well. I was like, ah, this kind of sucks, but they're gonna make it somehow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's fun to see some like live translations, and there's a little bit of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love episodes where you really get to see the inside of Klingon culture. You know, like T'Pol was saying that, you know, that they're on the ship and they realize they're getting sucked in by the gas giant. And I think Reed or Hoshi say, well, why don't we just use the escape pods? And she's like, Klingons don't use escape pods. And I'm just like, fucking Klingons, man. Like, they are so themselves. And then they have like freshly slaughtered like animals. Like, they have this amazing technology out in space and they still have to have like carnivorous boars like chained up in the brig, you know, to eat later on because they like their meat freshly slaughtered.
It's important.
Yeah. And they love getting shit faced too.
Respect.
Yeah, respect to that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just love episodes where you get to where the Klingons are the center because it's you can What's the saying? There's two things in the universe that are for sure: death and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this is the Star Trek universe, the third one is you can be sure a Klingon's gonna Klingon.
Yeah. You know, I just really like how I like how pretty much up until TNG, Klingons are kind of a off-putting race.
Yeah.
We're unsure. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a little shadowy and vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun to see that real time through, like, Archer and the Enterprise crew.
And they're so much more, like, developed, I feel like, in Enterprise as compared to, like, the Next Generation, or the original series.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's go ahead, sorry.
No, that's all I
really... You know, there's a... I don't know exactly what it says, but there's a certain episode where Worf references... Someone references that the Klingons used to look different.
Mm-hmm.
And Worf says, we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain, like, genetic shift where they explain away in a single line by Worf that the Klingons, you know, used to be TOS style and now they're this style. Yeah.
They had bad makeup artists.
Mm-hmm. That shit was hella racist.
Yeah, in the original series, they look like... I guess maybe they're going for, like, the evil Mongolian look.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It definitely looks like evil Mongolian, maybe Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Despite, like, they're supposed to be the Russians.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Romulans are Chinese if you're going off of, like, original iteration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are the Borg? Fascists.
They're just the Borg, man.
They're just Borgin.
You know, the Q are you and I.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love the fucking Q. The Q continuum. Yeah, so, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill episode.
Yeah. There is something that I liked about this episode. Number one, it was Hoshi as being the center of this episode. I love Hoshi. I think she's so hot, dude. I have such a space boner for Hoshi.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you remember the scene when T'Pol shows her the old turbulent ocean trick where she's like tracing her fingers on her palm.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll show you more about it later in my quarters. And I was like, oh, okay.
Word.
My mind just naturally went to, oh, she's gonna teach her how to orgasm with her mind or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
And then, of course, we get the delousing scene, too, which I'm just, like, 100% behind.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me fucking too.
Yeah.
I like
sexy space gals, what can I say?
And for the women out there, sexy space men. Reed didn't look so bad.
No. Again, he's the international or intergalactic man of mystery.
That's right.
Dad has his bod and his care. He just cares a lot.
Everyone needs someone who cares.
And, you know, Dad isn't afraid to go over to the Klingon ship and find out what's what.
You know what? I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to show them.
I'm going to take this Klingon chick with me, too.
That's right, goddammit. Well, have you more to add?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Like you said, it's kind of a... Oh, you know, there is something I wanted to maybe discuss a little bit. What did you think of the whole Malcolm Reed getting the common cold angle?
I mean, sure. Didn't seem to affect him later.
No, they're like, oh, you got the cold, go on, go head over to that ship, fix it.
Well, he stopped being sick.
Yeah, did you notice that? Like, halfway through the episode, he's like, was talking normal again.
And it's like, I'm fine with the common cold. You know, I mean, clearly this is before, like, TNG's master hypospray ship.
Yeah.
Where they can fix anything.
I feel like the whole purpose of the common cold angle was to get them on the ship and for Hoshi to be like, "Do you smell that?" And him be like, "No." It's like, oh, get it? Klingon or Klingon smell. Get it, guys?
Plot device.
Right? And then later on, it's a callback when they're in the decon area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I've thought for a long time that I feel like the common cold is I feel like it's been cured already, but I feel like they're not giving the cure because they just make too much money curing it every year. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like we were able to cure, what was it? I wanted to say polio. Was it polio with bread mold? Penicillin.
That's the case. Yeah, they say that polio might hold the secret to curing cancer as well.
Interesting. My thought is, like, why don't we just go find, like, mold on, like, a tortilla? You know what I mean? And see if that cures the common cold.
David Neck.
Science guy.
Mold science guy.
Mold.
That's what I was going to say.
Mold.
Mold de sewer.
Mold promoter.
Mold scientist. So, you know, run-of-the-mill episode.
Yeah, there you go.
This has been The Star Companion. He's David.
I'm David.
I'm Zach.
He's Zach.
And thanks for listening.
And you're you.
Oh, and you're you. Yes, you are.
We find you very important. We'd like you to keep listening and keep watching. You can find us on YouTube.
YouTube. All major podcasting platforms.
And if you like us, drop us $1 on Patreon.
Yeah. Or just, you know, give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Take care of yourself.
Take care.
'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.